Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to my home here in the most wonderful and beautiful and awesome city in the world, Houston, Texas. It's just great to have you with us tonight. We took a week off last week because the guests that I had scheduled didn't recognize and remember that it was Labor Day weekend. And they said, oh, I got family plans. I'm going to be out of town. So we said, we'll just do a repeat. So thank you for allowing us to do that repeat. But tonight we have a live awesome guest, and I want to guarantee you this is going to be one that you'll want to listen in on. And go ahead and contact your friends, and let's see if we can't get everybody on at the same time. And like we always say, for years on here, we've just celebrated our sixth anniversary of being here on the show every week for 6 years and plus now. If you give us 45, 55 minutes of your Sunday evening, we promise you one thing. You'll be able to take something that is said and apply it to your life or help somebody else out in your week, the coming week. It's not just entertainment. It is something to be able to take in, absorb, soak in, and utilize. So hopefully by these last 6 years, you have a tool belt that has all kinds of things that you can reach for at any given time, or you have something in the back of your mind. But if you have a mind like mine, you better have a piece of paper and an ink pen to be able to write it down before I will forget. I live in this high rise and I'm on the 19th floor, and I don't remember where I parked my car after church this morning. So I had to find it in the morning and go through the entire garage, hitting that little fob. We're hoping that it still honks. But anyway, that's all beside the point. We have a great show. And I tell you what, if Oprah had a show, I don't even know if she has a podcast or a radio show or not still anymore, or a TV show, you wouldn't be able to just take live calls. She wouldn't take those. She would have them screened and made sure they worded them just right. We don't allow that here. We let you call BBS Radio at 888-627-6008, and you are patched right in live with us, our guest and myself. And you can just ask the question. And over the 6 years, we've never had anybody abuse that. And it's just been a wonderful way to communicate with people. But if you're a little shy and afraid you're going to stutter, which is all right, we all do that. You can get on Facebook at the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook, and it is up and running. I'm looking at it right now on this screen here, and comment on that. And during the break, I'll check it out. Or you can give right here on the cell phone, and you can text 832-396-6525, and that is my personal cell phone number. I'm the only one that answers that, but text that, and during the break, I will also, and I did get your text from a few people saying, hey, you're late getting on, but we got to talking. We were chewing the fat together. So anyway, if you want to do that, you're welcome to. You know, before we bring the guest in, I think sometimes, and why I have my phone up here, I think sometimes life can get really loud, and sometimes music, things, our world just gets so loud that we don't know what to do. Does your life ever get like that? Does your life ever get so noisy that you can't think clearly, even though that's a beautiful, that's on my playlist, believe it or not. I have a weird playlist, but I love that kind of music, symphony music and classical music. But life can just start echoing in our mind. And in that, it's hard to stop and recognize, hey, wait, I need to turn down the volume. And the older I get, the less noise I enjoy. We all try to multitask, and we all ought to know that that is an impossible thing to do. And we have a person on our guest on our show tonight that has more degrees than Carter has pills on her wall, and I may be having to pay her for her therapy of me tonight while we're talking. But it seems like I need to realize, how do you reach back to that emotional world that's going on inside and turn the volume down? And I needed that this week. So I jotted some things down. I just want to share with you some things real quick, and then we'll get our awesome guest on. I want her to have a good 45 minutes to be able to share her story with you. But that inner noise, how do you tune down the pressure? How do you tone down the stress? How do you let go of that emotional baggage that seems to be making a rut behind you because you can't carry it anymore? You're just dragging it. Try these tips, okay? And I may not get through all of them. If I don't, I'll get to the next ones next week. First thing I want to let you know that I need to recognize is to be aware that the noise is getting louder, that emotional awareness. And in that, I need to name it. I need to declare it. I need to say, right now, I'm feeling tension here. If it's at my desk, I need to declare it. I'm sitting right here at my desk, and I feel like I'm going to emotionally pop. And labeling it, and I don't know if our guests will agree or not, but we'll chat about it quickly when she comes on. Labeling it automatically helps me reduce the charge of it. And it slows it down. And I want to label it because some people think numbing it works. I'll just pretend it's not there. And I don't know, but personally, I really, truly believe that if you numb, selectively try to numb your emotions, those painful things in your life, you also numb the positive emotions in your life. That there's just no possible, I don't believe, scientific way to get your brain to say, I'm going to numb that emotion without numbing this emotion. Numbing sometimes is not the way. You need to just literally be aware of the emotion that you're dealing with and then name it. If you have a relationship, if you have a best friend, if you have a husband or wife, whatever it is, and you say, hey, wait, this isn't about you right now. This is about what I'm experiencing here. And what I'm experiencing here is stress at the office or stress at a coworker or stress at my finances or whatever it is. And then process that, but name it. Try to name it. I know I'm not going to get through all these. Let me just give you one or two more. I think in the morning is an awesome time. Do you remember the old, I don't have one, but I wish I did. They may be valuable now. You remember the old mood rings? You put a mood ring on and it would turn a certain color, and it was just all about body temperature and things like that. But I guess it could have been a little bit, you know, stress causes different things. But I think mornings are a perfect time to do a mood check, to put your emotional mood ring on. And as you're walking around getting ready, what state of mind am I in today? Am I in right now? Because I do believe awareness helps bring or helps diminish energy. So in that, I think you need to, at least I need to, always start your morning with finding three things you're thankful for. One, I'm thankful for every morning I woke up. Two, when I get out of my chair there, if I can walk because of my Lou Gehrig's disease, if I can walk, thank you, God, I can walk today. Or I'm dragging my right leg, but it's all right. At least I can still, you know, be mobile. And three, find three things to support your life's purpose and say, I'm going to try to get those three things accomplished. Not another stack at the office, unless that's your life purpose, but three things that's going to contribute to help you make a goal that is something that you have been wanting to achieve. And if you get those nine things, three things that you're thankful for, three things that you want to accomplish today, and three things that are going to help you support your life goals, is going to be awesome. One more, and then I want to bring the guest in. We need mental clarity. We need to be able to clean up the mess. And there, we have all messes around the house and in the car and all of that. I'm driving a rental car right now, so that car is pretty clean. But if I owned it, it eventually starts getting messy. You start putting the old Diet Mountain Dew empty bottles in the back seat and all that. But, you know, we need mental clarity. We need to clean up all that mess and that externalize that swirl that's going on inside of our mind, because I want to be real with you. Clarity is a secret weapon. It's a secret mode that you can jump on, because if you know what you're after, if you know what you want, if you know what you're out to achieve, if you know, clarity is so important. Make it clear and see it happen. If you don't, I promise you it won't. Even professional golfers do this. They sit there, and another one's breathing, but I wouldn't even dare talk about that because our guest tonight is a pro on breathing. But even professional golfers, they'll put the ball on the tee and set it down. Then they step back. Watch it. Then they'll step back and they see that shot before they ever make it. There's a clarity there. There's a focus there. There's an alignment. I'm not saying if you claim it, you get it type thing, but they visualize what this is going to do. We need to sometimes, when we wake up and go, oh, it's going to be a terrible day. Well, congratulations, you just visualized what you're going to experience today. I ask that you try something different. This is going to be an awesome day. Even though it's Monday, it's going to be a perfect day. It's going to be great. I'm going to achieve what I got. I am thankful for some things, and I'm going to move on and try to make it the most positive day before you ever check your messages, before you ever check your emails, before, for the love of God, before you ever turn on the morning news. Don't even do that in your car or on TV if you want to have a good day, because it's never anything good. Turn down the volume. And I will throw all this to the side. We'll do the rest of these the next week or two. But just turn down the volume, be thankful, get that morning mood check, and then clarify what you want to accomplish. And I have a whole bunch more, but put that in your journal and see what those three things will help you with. I tell you what, I am thrilled to have our guest tonight. And Thomas, if you would, we'll use your official name tonight instead of TJ. Thomas, just bring her on in, if you would. Dr. Dina Plaskin is with us this evening, and she is going to be one of the most profound children's authors that you have ever heard of in the coming week. She has her first book that just came out that we're going to be talking about, and we're going to be seeing rise to the top of the charts. She has a PhD in education with a specialty in human behavior. If you don't think I'm going to try to get free counseling out of this tonight, you're crazy. Y'all know me in the audience. You know I'm going to try to get some help. She's also a licensed mental health counselor. She has a master's in clinical mental health, and I think a master's somewhere else in education. And is she certified in two equine psychotherapies, which to my knowledge, and it's the subject of the book, and you can see it behind them, about horses. And I have personally had the enjoyment in my early college years of working as a volunteer on a farm with abused children and how they used horses to intervene. So, Doctor, it is a pleasure to have you on the program tonight. Welcome to the show. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, thank you so very much for having me.
Well, I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
So you have a new book out. Tell me just a little bit about yourself and why a book. Where did that idea come from? And then we'll drill down a little bit deeper later on. But tell me about what it is that gets you out of bed every morning to say, hey, I want to accomplish this today. Yeah. What makes you feel good?
Oh, I just love the information that you mentioned in your introduction. It was so good. Yeah, purpose is so important, right? What gets us out of bed every morning? Well, for me now, it is the book, other than, of course, my family. You know, that goes without saying. But it is the book. It's getting the book out and the message out and the story behind the story as well. And how I came about being a children's author, because I wasn't a children's author until recently. And that's a story in and of itself. So as you mentioned, you know, I have a PhD in education. I teach at two universities as well. So I'm an educator, and I've been an educator for over 20 years. So, you know, a couple of decades. And in 2022, just recently, 2022, my husband and I have a home in Florida. And I received, as you mentioned, a second master's degree, and that was in clinical mental health. And my goal was, it was a calling. It really was a calling. When I went for my first master's degrees, my first master's degree in education, the calling was to do therapy. And I didn't want to. I was like, no, I just don't want to do that. And so it was a calling to get my clinical mental health degree. And I didn't want to do talk therapy. I didn't want to just sit across a desk and talk to people. I wanted to interact in different ways. And I met someone who was doing equine therapy. And I thought, gosh, I love horses. I was a cowgirl, you know, as a little girl. And I know how well dogs are with therapy. And so I was really interested. I started volunteering at some barns for a few years. So I volunteered before that, before deciding to go head in. And I said, okay, I'm going to do equine psychotherapy. That is what I want to do. So I researched horses. Now, I never owned a horse. I love horses, but I never owned one. And I did a deep dive into horses and what horse would be the best for therapy. What horse is docile? What horse is family orientated? What horse would be the best to bring people in and connect? And I found that Gypsy Vanners, they're called Gypsy Vanners in the United States. They're beautiful horses. They're very docile. They were created with Romani gypsies in the UK. And they were created intentionally to be in the family, to live in the family unit. And I thought, gosh, that is the horse. Not only are they beautiful, but that is the horse that I want. So in September of 2022, I adopted a Gypsy Vanner. She was 15 at the time, from Southern California. And I had her trailered all the way to Southwest Florida.
Wow.
Okay, to the home that we had, to the island that we lived on, in a barn. We didn't have a barn at where we lived, but she was at a barn. And We had her trailered there. It took a week. I'm sure she enjoyed the journey across the US. I thought about it, wow, her journey across the United States, imagine that. So she arrived. She actually arrived early. She was not supposed to arrive and for a few weeks later. But she arrived early. 3 weeks after she arrived, Hurricane Ian hit our island. And it was catastrophic. It was catastrophic. Hurricane Ian, I don't know if you can recall, but it did happen in 2022 in Southwest Florida. It was supposed to go up to Tampa. And at the last minute, it made a turn and it hit our area and our island. It hit us directly. Well, Bella, my horse, was stuck on the island with the other horses and the other livestock. The island has a lot of livestock on it. And the only bridge, the only access to the island was out. Not only that, but it was catastrophic. They now say it was a Category 5 hurricane. We know that the winds reached about 160 miles per hour. We think a tornado went through in certain areas, and we know that the horses were in a lot of water. Needless to say, she just arrived. She just went through a hurricane. My first horse. I don't know, much about like, oh wow, what is happening here? Did I make the right decision? Is this like so many things that go through your mind, as well as guilt. I had a lot of guilt. Like, was this what I'm supposed to do? You could not access the island, so we had to access it via boat. Now, horses require at least 15 gallons of water a day. We had no access to fresh water. We had no access to food. The island it was devastated. So we had to boat everything in to keep the animals alive. Unfortunately, her pastor mate didn't make it through the hurricane. And so it was around the clock, making sure that the horses were, well nourished and fed and taken care of. When I first saw her at the barn after the hurricane, the trauma in that barn that that these horses went through, you felt it. I mean, she put her head on my shoulder and it sat there for a half hour. Her head just put her head on my shoulder. So I started thinking right away. I felt the trauma going through this hurricane. I can't imagine what Bella felt. And I started thinking about the kids. And I thought, started thinking, how are the kids managing this? How are they managing their emotions and their feelings? And that's when a few people said, you need to write a children's book about Bella's experiences. And I sat down immediately and I started writing her journey, how I adopted her journey from Southern California, the hurricane. And as things usually happen, I wrote it and now I needed to find, well, what do I do with this? And I popped on Facebook and right there was a children's book with a horse and a stuffed animal. And I thought, that's what I want to do. That's my vision. Like you said, it was what I was visioning as I was writing it. I was visualizing, okay, this is what I want to do. And so I took a risk and I contacted the author. I hunted her down, Kathy Simmers. Her book is Jump the Moon. It's a fantastic children's book. And I contacted her and she graciously called me. We had a wonderful conversation. And she gave me a lot of insights into, children's book and children's writing and things like that that I had no idea about. And she gave me her editor's name. And she said, you need to call her. And so I did. And my editor, Simone Kaplan, fantastic. She's with Picture Book People. And she took my book on. But she said, I love the story. I love Bella, but you need to do a series. And it can't be about Bella's travels. Her travels are fantastic, but we need to narrow this down. And I think you should do a book series on the emotions, the core emotions. And I thought, that's exactly it. That's what I need to do. And I was always passionate about emotional intelligence and the importance of emotional intelligence. And I thought, gosh, this is like coming together. This is amazing. So she said, you determine what emotions you want to do, you determine it. Just sit and start writing. And so I did. And I thought, the state of the world in 2022 what emotion do I want to start with? And I decided with anger. It felt like anger was so important to tackle first. And so I started writing, and I just immediately thought of a little boy named Henry. I pictured this little boy named Henry, and I thought about my own childhood, reflected on a lot of things in my own childhood, and I started writing about Henry and being angry, and we started connecting it to, the emotional intelligence aspect. And I wanted to, my focus was to also capture Bella as the therapist, as you mentioned. So because I adopted her for equine psychotherapy, I wanted to bring her in and act as the therapist. Along the line, I said, I need some humor in these books. These are heavy, heavy topics we're talking about. These kids are not going to enjoy these books unless I have some humor. And so there's a bird that is always in Bella's stall. And he does exist. And he always is making nests with her hair. And I thought, Bella and Bird. And so I came up with Bella and Bird. And Bird is her wisecracking sidekick. So he brings in, you know, he brings in that humor into the stories. And he's Bella's sidekick. And he really does exist. He's a barn swallow. Of course, there's lots of barn swallows that come in and swoop in. But, you know, he is the barn swallow that I came up with Bird. So we went with Bella and Bird. And then we talked a while about, okay, Bella and Bird. And then we're like, the emotion explorers. That's what we need. So it's the series is Bella and Bird, the emotion explorers. And the first book, as you mentioned, is Bella and Bird Explore Anger. That's the first book that just was launched a few weeks ago. And that's how the first story started.
That's an unbelievable story. And it's a beautiful book. How did you come up with your illustrator?
Gorgeous. I always say, you know, I have a fantastic band. The best band, the Bella and Bird, the Emotion Explorers band. Because without everyone else, right, you can't do it alone. Yeah. So it took me... It took me over a year to find Leah. So Leah's the illustrator. She's fantastic, as you can see. The illustrations are just amazing. But I also have a fantastic art director as well, Semidar. So Semidar is the art director, and she really brings in a lot of the color and a lot of the placement. There's so much involved in a children's book. It's very different than, you know, a book without a non-picture book. Because there's a lot involved with getting the pictures right. One thing that we really struggled with is that Bella's a horse, so she's very big. Henry's a little boy, but then Bird is a tiny bird. And so getting all three sizes and elements was very hard. How I got Leah was I actually reached out to a different illustrator. It took me over a year to find someone. I just was going through, and I wanted someone who could do watercolor and hand-drawn. I didn't want any of the AI, sorry, AI, but I didn't want any of the AI images. Point. Yeah, I wanted real images. And I found an illustrator in Scotland. And again, as fate would have it, we reached out to her. She was very, very interested, but then her agent wasn't getting back to us. But she was very interested. Seminar, my art director was at an illustrator conference in New York City. And Leah was there. And she said, you have to see these illustrations. And actually, they were thinking of the illustrations for some other book. And I said, I looked at her illustrations and I said, she's the one. That's the one I've been looking for. And so that's how we found Leah. She was at an illustrator conference, and it's been fantastic. She's, created Henry. I pictured Henry exactly how she has created him. My second book, which just went to print last week, you know, she creates little characters. Now we have Bella and Bird down. So that took a lot of work and a lot of effort to get the sizing and all that down. So yes, I have a fantastic illustrator, a fantastic team of people. That have great. Made so
you,
these books
you look at
come
yourself
to life.
As the lead singer, and everybody else is in the band that's really making it sound good altogether.
Right.
Yeah. That's great.
Exactly.
Hey, well, we're going to take our only commercial break, and it's about a minute. So give you a chance to get a nice swig of water. And folks, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. And doctor, on the other side of this, I want to find out why anger first, what's the other topics you're going to discuss, and how difficult is it to break some of these heavy emotions down to where kids can find it entertaining, not depressing, but also helpful, because we're going to show the viewers tonight and the listeners tonight that this isn't just a picture book. It is actually a book that has charts, wheels, applications, and things that they can actually use with parents and their children. So we're going to talk about that, drill down a little bit deeper on the other side of this commercial break. 888-627-6008. We'll be back in about a minute and 16 seconds. Be right back. Hang with us.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
All right, welcome back. I tell you what, doctor, I would like for you to hold up, even though it's right behind you on the wall, hold up your book so we can get a good, clear vision of this.
Yeah.
And this book is called Bella and Bird, Explore Anger. And it's by Dr. Dina Plaskon, Plaskon. And you can get it right now on Amazon. And I can't think of a better book. If you had to, doctor, put an age on, hey, what age group did you really focus on? What's the best age group? What would you say?
Well, my ideal reader is 8 years old.
Eight.
And the other ideal reader, of course, is parents, teachers, and therapists, right? Because my books are a tool, and there's tools in the book. So the book itself is a tool. My age range that we decided to go with is 5 to 10, which is unusually higher for a picture book. But as you said earlier, there's a lot of tools in this book. So yes, there's some longer text blocks, but what they call longer text blocks. But the idea is the books, of course, are for children, but for parents as well, for adults, for the grownups, because they have to role model. Without understanding emotional intelligence and how to role model our own emotions and underlying feelings, if we don't have those tools, how are we going to give those tools to our children? So yes, the book itself is a tool. It's for 5 to 10 year olds. Of course, a 5, 6 year old, I would say the parents should be sitting with them. The parents should be sitting with reading it anyway.
Yeah.
And then role modeling the tools in the book.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, I remember in kindergarten, first grade, the run, Dick, run, see spot, go, you know, go spot, go, all of that stuff. Your book's not one line in a picture and through 26 pages, you're done. This is one of those books that has a good size amount of, you know, probably a paragraph or so on each page. And then a beautiful picture. but it is in depth in a story. It's not just a line and then, oh, I'm an author. I'm not knocking the people that do that, but this is definitely a book that is a tool. And deliberately, was anger the first one? Was that the one you automatically jumped on because of the hurricane or because of what
I
you
did.
Had gone through, your children are going through, or how did you come up with that?
I felt that the world was angry in 2022.
Yeah, it is.
You know, we were coming out of COVID and a lot of politically, like the environment I felt like was very angry. And so I intentionally started with anger because I just felt like there's so much anger out there. So yes, it was intentional to begin with anger. And as you mentioned, that there's the tools in the book. It's a conversation. You mentioned that as well. It's a story about Henry, but it's also showing grownups and children. It's planting those seeds, lifelong skills, which is what emotional intelligence is about. It's a story about how to have a conversation about these emotions.
Do you think schools often focus on the IQ way more than they should when we need to, in this day and age, also include, obviously, that EQ? I think we're missing
We
what,
definitely
your
are
opinion
missing.
of that from your point of view?
I can't agree more. You see, your IQ is fixed. You're
Ooh.
Born with what you're born with. Okay. So you don't get smarter as you get older. Your IQ, you're born, you're fixed. EI or EQ, emotional intelligence, you can increase it. And you can increase it at any time in any age. So you can have a high emotional intelligence or you can have a low emotional intelligence. A low emotional intelligence isn't good. It means, for example, with anger that you might fly off the handle. You just don't know how to handle those moments of getting angry. We all have those moments, but when it happens often and when you're role modeling those moments to children, you know, of course, that's not good because then they learn that that's how you manage anger. And so, yeah, I think schools, my goal is to get emotional intelligence out into the schools, more awareness. Now, a lot of schools have over the years have adopted what's called SEL, that's social emotional learning. That's different than emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Social emotional learning is like a lesson plan. Emotional intelligence, and my goal of my books is lifelong skills. They're learning lifelong skills to become leaders.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean,
I hope
that's
that the
so
schools.
important right now.
Yeah, it is so important. And we do focus too much on the intellect and the IQ. And that is important to focus on as well. Sure. But, you know, we need to have that balance. And, you know, I always say, you know, up until the 80s, we swept emotions under the carpet. It wasn't something that you shared or something that you talked about. So a lot of us, you know, older people we've grown up not knowing how to have these important conversations. Like you mentioned in your intro, you know, having that self-awareness, that's the very first thing when it comes to emotional intelligence is building the self-awareness. Then in the 90s, what happened was we started coddling. And everything we had to be aware of and everything has to be shared. And that's still today, like every emotion, every feeling, it's coddling. And my books are a balance between the two. It's not shoving it under the carpet. And it's not saying I need to hear everything and every emotion and everything that you're feeling. There's a balance to it.
Yeah. So if I heard you right, if the IQ is already set, we can maybe get a little bit smarter type thing, but no, it's going to be in that pretty close range. Is that EI, EQ available to expand and grow and take up another level or two?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you
we
can
learn from that, right?
Absolutely. And there's so much research out there that leaders, they have high emotional intelligence.
Yes.
That's how you, that's one of the, you can be intelligent, but it's not the smartest. It's not, it's the ones with the high emotional intelligence that thrive. And that not only thrive and are like successful, because let's define success. What does that mean, right? It's person dependent, but it means to thrive within yourself and with others, healthy relationships. And so it emotional intelligence is about understanding your own, being self-aware about your own emotions and feelings, because emotions and feelings differ. The first thing that happens when we feel something is the emotion. So it's the anger. But then think of an iceberg and it's what's underneath that anger. Those are all your feelings. Okay. So you have the emotions and then you have the underlying feelings. So being self-aware. But there's another really important other half of that. It's understanding other people's feelings and emotions. That's super important. And that's also involves building empathy. So in order to understand other people, and it doesn't mean you have to agree with what they're feeling, or it's just having compassion and having an understanding that someone else is feeling something. Like you said in the beginning, like you can verbalize, you can put to words what you're feeling. And I can say, yes, I hear you, and I can validate that, because you're putting it to words.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we need to be beware that our emotions will lead us astray because you can't trust. I can be emotionally wrong about a lot of things, but no, I think that that's excellent. Now, do you believe also, because I think this book deals with it in a beautiful way, I've always said resilience isn't something that you can go out and buy in a book and learn it because you already have it. You just need to discover the resilience that you already have inside of you. Do you agree with that? And how does Bella help Henry? Yeah,
Yep,
Henry,
Henry.
deal with, hey, you have this inside of you. Trust it. Help grow that. Well, how does Bella do that?
Oh gosh, resiliency is so important too. I'm so glad you asked that. So Bella, as the therapist, okay, so she walks him through and she gives him tools. And it's the tools that help you build the resiliency. So without tools, without having a toolbox, like you mentioned in the beginning, and Bella has a toolbox in every book, there's Bella's little bag of tricks, it's her, but it's her, it's a, it's the tools. And these are research-backed therapeutic tools. These are tools I'd give clients. Okay. So these are in the book. So you have three tools in the book of anger, and every one of my books has different tools. So in the series of the four books, you're having all these very different tools. What I do keep the same in each book is what it's the emotion wheel, which is super important. So Bella gives Henry's the tools, and one of the first tools is the box breathing. And that the breathing is it's so simple, and it's a built-in tool. We all have it, but we have to remember to use it. And that's one of the things when you mentioned earlier, is having intention, is being intentional. So how do we do all of that? We have to learn to be intentional. And one of the first tools that Bella gives Henry is box breathing. And so my
And
book
can you
walks
share
it
with
through.
us, and I don't want to share all about the book because people need to buy the book, but what is box breathing? We talked about breathing a couple weeks ago. I showed people how to do it, but yours is different, but I like yours because it's more simple.
Yeah, it's very simple.
Show us how to do that or explain
So
how to do that.
box breathing came about, though. It's very interesting. Box breathing came about with the Navy SEALs. So the
Oh,
Navy
wow.
SEALs practice box breathing all the time. And it's and like I said, it's so simple. And we could do it anywhere. You could do it when you're driving the car and you're feeling that tension and you're feeling that stress of you got to get somewhere or the person in front of you is upsetting you. Whatever it is, you can box breathe. And there's other different breathe. I bring in a different breathing exercise in each of the books. So the second book on sadness, sadness is a heavy emotion. And we teach Molly how to tend to her sadness. And so we do feather breathing. Bird plucks a feather, and we teach her how to feather breathe to feel lighter because we want to, because sadness is such a heavy emotion. So box breathing is simply breathing in to a count of four, holding for a count of four if you can, and then releasing for a count of four. And you could just picture a box in your or in your mind and going up to the top or wherever you want to start, but the top is simple. and going over and breathing in to a count of four, holding for a count of four, breathing out for a count of four, and then holding for a count of four, and then starting again. And all my therapies, when I was doing therapy, all my therapy sessions, I would like to start my clients with a type of box breathing. Because they often come in with, you know, wanting to talk and wanting, you know, to get a lot of things out. And it's like, let's just reset. And that's what box breathing does. It helps you to reset.
How often do you think a person really, in general, ought to experience that? Because I think, you know, before you go into a meeting, before you speak in front of a large group, which I'm sure you're doing or going to very soon, lots of conferences you're going to be asked to come speak. Don't you think that's not only powerful, but also therapeutic for the person to just take that in and not just jump right in?
Yeah, definitely. And I always say, you know, your shoulders, get them out of your ears, because you just, people walk around like this all day. And then, you know, I have people go, oh my gosh, you're right. I need to like, just release your shoulders first. And then, you know, start to box breathe. But I do, I think it's something that we should teach kids in school. I think that's super important. I mean, test anxiety and whatever, everything that these little ones are going through, they need to learn box breathing right from the beginning, in my opinion. And I think every morning in schools, kids should be box breathing with the teachers. That's what I think. You know, start their day out right and fresh and reset. Who knows what they've gone through before they came into the classroom. And so, you know, just a simple tool like the box breathing and having this book in the classroom so that, you know, they can read it together, and just, it's planting the seeds. That's what it's all about, planting these seeds.
Yeah. And this emotion wheel. That's beautiful. That's something that people will get in the book. Can they also get it on the webpage?
Yeah, on my website, I have free downloads. I actually created that emotional wheel. There's a lot of them out there, but I didn't like a lot of them. So
I understand.
I felt that they weren't adding feelings into the emotion wheel. They were just adding these random words. And, you know, me being me in very particular, I said, no, I want a right emotional wheel, because this is super important to distinguish between an emotion and a feeling. And we often interject them, and that's okay. But when we are sharing how we're feeling inside, that feeling inside, that's important to get down with children so that they can, they have the language, the literacy skills, the words. So yeah, the emotion wheel, it's on the back of my bookmark here too. It's hard to see it, but I have it on my bookmark.
That's great.
I don't have all the words inside of it, but you know, each slice, I call it the slice, for anger, there's the feeling words inside. So it gives children those words. And I intentionally added some big ones, you know, big feeling words, because I feel kids can learn them. I didn't keep it very simple or basic. I didn't go and keep it really difficult. I really narrowed in and said, okay, in this age group, you know, they can understand these words and learn them.
That's what I liked about it. And I don't mean to be offensive, but some people dummy down things so much that it's like the kids are going, that's it. They can handle, you know, they can handle learning how to take a computer apart and get on the cell phone and all that. They can handle this book, and it's a challenge, but it's also encouragement, because there's no doubt that they can get all this wisdom in. What's the webpage?
The
is
web
that
page
the
is
Bella
yep,
Bird
Bella
Books?
Bird Books. Yep, BellaBirdBooks.com. So BellaBirdBooks.com is the webpage. You'll see a picture of the upcoming book there as well, which is Bella and Bird Explore Sadness. And so that's up and coming. That'll be hopefully out in November.
You got that one coming out in November. Can I get an inside scoop on what a couple
yeah,
of the next
Molly.
emotions that you're
Molly's
working
the
on?
yeah. Oh, the next book. Okay, so all four books are written. And they're in line with Leah to be illustrated. Actually, the fourth book we're still editing, but the third book, I love the third book. It's Bella and Bird Explore Happiness. Oh, happiness. Like, what's so bad about that? Okay. Well, I love it because we teach Piper, a little girl named Piper, how to cultivate happiness because she wants to be happy all the time. So there's ways that we can cultivate happiness. And I intentionally am having Leah, who is actually starting to illustrate P Piper now. I wanted a winter scene because depression is very real and very big in the winter. And so I intentionally wanted the happiness book to be in a winter scene. In order to maybe subliminally tell people that it's you can cultivate happiness in the winter too. There are many ways to cultivate it, including gratitude. That's one of the things we have the gratitude jar in the happiness book. The fourth book is on fear. So Bella and Bird explore fear, and the little boy is named Charlie, and he has a speaking part in the play, and he's very afraid. And so I teach him how to navigate fear. So that's the four books that are in the series.
Okay, now the children's names and the children's being illustrated. Anything that are they tied into you personally, or they are just part of your imagination and you like the names and the pictures? I mean, there's nothing, is there anything special in the children?
No, when I. For each name, it just popped in my head and I went with the first one. And I didn't want to go like, maybe not. I'm like, nope, this is the first one. This is how I pictured Molly. She's an Asian girl. Molly, Piper. I just pictured Piper being this bouncy redhead. She's I told just told Leah I'd like to be a bouncy redhead with green eyes because that's what I picture Piper when I wrote about happiness. This is how I was picturing her. And same with Henry. I just pictured a little boy with dark brown hair. Who is angry?
If we only have a couple minutes left, if a parent's listening right now and they have a child that has these outbursts, can't handle anger, what would be one of the first things that you would recommend them do besides buy your book? But what would be one of the first tools that you would ask them to try? Hey, at that moment that they are raging or throwing or pouting or stomping or whatever anger is going through their little bodies at the time, what would you recommend first for a parent to do? How do
Yeah,
they get control again?
and I think anger is a tricky one because in the moment, no one wants to be told anything when they're angry in the moment, right? That just can fuel more anger. And so one of the things I would say is that this is what's so important about my books is that first, as a parent, you're modeling the skills. Okay. So the more you role model, the more you model them, the less they're going to have these outbursts. When I have a child that says, I told mommy to box breathe, I love that because, yes, exactly, that we want the parent to model them. I would say, first off, the first thing is that, we first want to teach kids that anger is not bad. It's not bad to get angry. In fact, feelings are a good thing. It's your behavior that's bad. Okay. It's the behavior that's bad. The other thing that I just wanted to point out is that emotions need motion. Okay. So emotions need motion. And that's why the tools in each of the books is so important to teach children because they have to get these emotions and feelings out. And there's many different ways to do that. Many different ways. Some people, this is why some people like to go running or go for a walk, because emotions need motion. We have to get them out. We can't keep them bottled up. And you mentioned that about bottling up, feelings and emotions. It makes us very sick inside. Our bodies can't handle the heaviness. If we keep just piling up these emotions and feelings, eventually, it's gonna harm us in a lot of ways. So emotions need motion. So yes, a child has an outburst. One of the things, of course, you can teach them is it's okay that you're angry. We need to talk about why you're angry. The behavior is bad. You, like Henry, throws the truck. Throwing the truck is the bad thing. Let's do box breathing. Let's sit and do box breathing so that we can reset. It's why I start with box breathing in the book, because I think it's simple and it helps to reset. It helps to reset immediately. You can start to, okay, all right, let me just breathe. Let me start to box breathe here. So I would say it's that conversation, having that open, honest conversations and saying that it's okay to be angry, but the way that you're handling the anger is not okay. The behavior is not good.
And don't you think that that's something that would be awesome for the parent and the child to do together? Because sometimes the parent will say, well, you just sit down and chill out. And that doesn't put water on the fire. It puts gasoline because they don't want to hear that. And I think doing it together, or am I wrong? I mean, from your point
no,
of view.
No, doing it together. And then when they do get angry on their own, whenever it is that they're angry, they'll have that skill.
Yeah.
It's planting that seed and giving them these skills. But yes, definitely doing it together. And again, you know, when you tell them time out, you're now, that emotion needs the motion. You're now putting them in a corner. And, you know, having that emotion get suppressed, that's not healthy. That
Might
is
as well
not
put
a
them in
healthy
the
thing to do.
straitjacket.
Yeah. Even if you have to just go for a walk with them to start to reset, because every child is different, of course. You know, some of them are more active. Some of them, you have to know your child. And, you know, I don't want to give parenting advice ever, because everyone knows their own child. I only want to give the tools, only tools and
Good point.
guides that can help.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think every driver on 288 down in Houston with the traffic that we have needs that the breathing box because that we all need that driving through traffic here in Houston. Doctor, I can't tell you how awesome this interview was. I thoroughly enjoyed this. It is called Bella and Bird Explore Anger. Hold up the book one more time. I want everybody to
Yes,
get a
thank
good
you.
picture of this. You can
See
get
you,
that on
hopefully.
Amazon right now. And you can get it download on Kindle too, right?
Not Kindle just yet, but it is. It's going to be an ebook soon. I'm
Okay.
working on that. Yep.
Good. And it's beautiful. Personally, I think this is one that you need to have in your hands.
Yes.
You know, if you like Kindle, the kids like it on electronics, but I do believe this is one that you want to sit down and go through page by page because it is so beautiful and the kids will enjoy the illustrations in a huge way. So will the adults. Great book. I want to have you come back maybe
Yes.
November when you have that one come out, and I'd love to be part of each of these being debuted to the world. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love to have you back on.
I would love that. That's fantastic.
Well,
Thank
thank
you.
you so much. And don't forget, it's bellabirdbooks.com. They can reach you right through there. You have a contact tab on there. They can reach out to you.
Yep, and social media sites too.
I personally believe also every school administrator, we have a lot of school teachers that listen to the program. We have a lot of counselors too. This needs to be in every counselor's office. This needs to be in every library. This needs to be in every teacher's room. And this would be one of those books that I think a teacher can read to their class during 1 hour and then discuss it. I think it'd be awesome.
Thank you.
Highly recommend it. Thank you, Doctor, so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. We'll be talking soon, I promise you. As we like to do each and every week, I always like to end the program the same way. Not to bore you or that you can mimic me with it, but just to let you know that no matter what you're going through right now, you just got some good tools. You just got some good ideas. You got some good things that you can do. And the first thing to do is just to remember to breathe. Breathe, just slow down, pause, take a step back. And just go, okay, I need this with my tongue. Before I mouth off, I need to breathe a little bit and go, okay, tongue. Before, oh, I'm famous for this. Am I the only one? Before you want to hit that send button and you type out that email or that text and you just want to send as fast as you can because you're working on the emotion of anger or frustration or whatever, breathe first. Think about it first. Am I modeling what I want the person I'm sending this to send back? Am I modeling what I'm leading the office people that's on my team at the office? And just breathe, just pause. But no matter what you deal with tomorrow, start your day off positive. And I want to promise you that there's a reason. And you know, the sun's already set because of the time change, but there's a reason that I believe God puts sunsets in the morning to let us know we have something to look forward to in that day. But I also believe that God allows that sunset to go down, which happens to be right behind my back every night. No matter what I experience in that day, it can end beautiful. And it's all in your choice. It's all in the way you look at it. But no matter what you're going through right now or going to face tomorrow, I know there's always hope. And you don't have to go through it alone. Join us right here next week for another edition. And don't forget to buy Bella and Bird Explore Anger this week and give it for a birthday gift. And as Christmas is going up, go ahead and buy it. And you may have two to be able to give at Christmas when the next one comes out. Join us right here for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Have an awesome, awesome week. And thank you again, Doctor, for being with us. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.